Chapter 8. Cage. I'm falling in love with Quinn. I can't deny it. Even as I lie in the morning light, not getting nearly enough sleep, all I could think about was how I could touch him like I did last night. When I heard him place his hand on the bed between us, I sent out my hand in search of his. I didn't know if I should or if he would want me to, but I couldn't stop myself. I need Quinn. I ache to be with him. I feel like I would go crazy without him. And to be so close without being able to wrap my arms around him was torture. I was about to relieve myself of the painful agony when I shifted and something buzzed. When it did, I realized I was still half asleep because it woke me up. I knew the sound. It was my alarm clock. I had forgotten to turn it off. It was probably more accurate to say that I wasn't foolish enough to turn it off. Ever since I had met Quinn, getting 8 hours were impossible. Even if I was in bed in time to do it, alone in the darkness, was when I thought about him the most. So to have him here now was like a dream come true. The alarm buzzed again. Oh, right, the alarm. I didn't want it to wake up Quinn. Instead of letting it ring like I usually had to, I popped open my eyes and figured out where I was. I was on the right side of the bed. The alarm clock was on the left. I had to reach over Quinn to get it. Not thinking about it, I straddled the guy beneath me and hit the switch. With it off, I realized where I was. Although our bodies weren't touching, I was hovering above him. I froze and looked down. He was on his back facing up. My God, did I want to bend down and kiss him? I was right there. He was so close. And then he opened his eyes. I stared at him. Caught. He smiled. Or was it a blush?
Good morning,
he said in a raspy morning voice. Looking at him, I relaxed. Morning, I said, getting one more good look at him and then rolling back to my side of the bed. Sorry about that, I told him.
No, I liked it,
he said, smiling ear to ear. You liked my alarm?
Oh, I thought you meant...
He blushed again.
It was fine. Does that mean we have to get up? It's so early.
I have to get to practice. It's a long drive.
Okay,
he said, squirming his body adorably. Watching him settle, I was about to get up when I noticed something. I had a serious morning wood situation going on. Sure, I was only too happy to show him my hard dick last night, but I was so turned on by being with him that I had lost all inhibition. After a night's sleep, as short as it was, I wasn't so bold. Yeah, I was still as turned on as all get out, but we weren't getting into bed. We were leaving it. That made a difference.
We could sleep a little while longer, right?
Quinn asked, facing me, his gorgeous eyes begging for me to hold him. You can, but I have to get up. The bowl game's on Saturday. This is our last full practice before it. I can't be late.
Fine,
Quinn said, disappointed. Staring into his eyes, I tried to think of the next time I could get him back here. Do you want to come to the game? Have you ever been?
You want me to come to your game?
He asked with a smile. Yeah, why wouldn't I?
I don't know. I thought it might be your manly space or something.
Manly space?
You know, a place for your girlfriend and all of your football friends to meet and do football things.
First of all, the stadium seats 20,000 people. There's room for everyone. Second of all, Tasha hadn't been to one of my games in I don't know how long. You should come. That way you can see what all the fuss is about.
I can see what all the fuss is about from here,
he said, making my heart melt. I mean, why it's so important for me to pass the class we stayed up all night studying for.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I can get you a couple of tickets. You can bring Lou.
I don't know how much he's into football.
Is he into football players? I asked with a smile.
He's into anyone with a dick.
Then tell him that everyone on the field is guaranteed to have a dick, I said with a smile. Quinn chuckled. I loved hearing him laugh.
I'll see.
Cool.
Will you win?
For you? anything. I wouldn't have been able to pass the class without you.
You haven't passed it yet,
he reminded me. But I will. I'm confident. You're a good teacher. Thank you.
Does that mean my tutoring time with you is done?
I looked at Quinn, realizing it for the first time. I guess it does. The thought of not having an excuse to be with him broke my heart. You definitely have to come to the game. I mean it. Promise me you will, even if Lou doesn't. Quinn looked at me in the eyes and smiled.
I will. I promise.
Good. Now, I guess I have to get up. I flinched my dick, finding that it was now only partially hard. That meant that I couldn't look impressive for Quinn without making things incredibly awkward for our 40-minute drive back to campus. Getting out of bed, I was sure to stand profile for him as I readjusted my shorts. I gave it enough time for him to get a good look at me before turning and headed for the bathroom. There was only one in the house, and it was outside my door. Leaving Quinn, I closed the bedroom door behind me, and I did what I had to prepare for the day. When I got back to the room, Quinn was dressed. As he took care of morning business, I made a breakfast smoothie and packed my bag, getting ready to go. Our ride back to town consisted mostly of him drilling me on what he had gone over the night before. With his help, I really did feel ready. I couldn't imagine anyone else preparing me as well as he did. I really wanted to do well on the exam for him. It turns out that he was a literal genius. I was nowhere near that, but I wanted to at least show him that I wasn't a dumb jock. I wanted to be someone worthy of being with someone like him, even if I couldn't be with him right now. When I had floated the idea of breaking up with Tasha, I didn't get the response I was hoping for. I guess I was looking for something a little more enthusiastic from him. If I was going to dismantle my word to be with him, I wanted to feel like it wouldn't be for nothing. His response was positive, but not motivating. That left things still entirely up to me. It was a lot to think about. But before I got there, I had practice, an exam, and what was probably the biggest game of my life. If you're a legitimate NFL prospect, NFL teams might request film on you at the beginning of the school year. After sifting through the hundreds of hours they get from around the country, teams select where they will send their scouts. Bowl games were where scouts came to see you in person. College bowl games were highly attended. Televised games during the winter break. They allowed scouts to see how we played under pressure. At the end of a bowl season, most teams knew who to put on their draft board. Bowl games were what allowed players to go pro. As a senior, it would be the last bowl game of my life. It had to go well, or else everything everyone sacrificed to get me here would have been for nothing. But it wasn't like my relationship with my father hung in the balance, and the weight of it was an elephant on my chest. Nope, it wasn't like that at all.
Good luck at practice,
Quinn wished me when I dropped him off at his dorm. Thanks.
See you in class, and don't worry, you won't need luck for that one. You got it,
he said with a smile. Thanks for everything, I said, hopelessly taken by him. I watched him walk away. God, did his ass look good. He looked back a final time before disappearing into his building. As I sat there, what I wanted became clear. I could no longer imagine a future without Quinn in it. He had quickly become everything to me. What the hell was I supposed to do now? Fortunately, I didn't have time to think about it. If I didn't get my ass to practice immediately, I was going to be late. Whatever I decided to do, it would probably affect my NFL prospects. And I was going to need Coach's help. So, the last thing I wanted was to be on his bad side.
You're late!
I'm sorry, Coach. I was up all night studying, I said, as I ran past him on my way to the locker to change. He followed a step behind.
Studying, huh? It's funny how you're doing it without a tutor. You better not be bullshitting me, Rucker. If you don't pass the class, you'll be suspended from the team. There won't be anything I'll be able to do about it.
I promise I have a tutor. I keep telling him to register with you guys, but I don't think he needs the money. I'll pass the class, though. He's pretty incredible. He has me ready.
You better be ready.
Coach, I'm ready.
Huh,
he huffed, looking at me suspiciously. I couldn't tell what Coach was thinking or what it would mean, so I put it out of my mind by giving it all I had in practice. I was on the verge of puking by the end.
I gotta go, Coach. I gotta take my exam, I told him,
staring at the giant clock at the far end of the stadium.
Take it and get back here. We have more plays to go over.
Got it, Coach.
I took off my helmet and upper pads before running across campus. Unlike the first time I did it, I was there at the beginning of class. There were no open seats left near Quinn, so I took one up front.
Good luck, Mr. Rucker,
the professor said as she handed me the exam. Thanks, I said before looking back for the only encouragement I cared about. Quinn smiled at me and mouthed,
You have this.
I mouthed, Thanks, back. It turned out that Quinn had been right. I'd never taken an easier exam in my life. I didn't pretend it had to do with anything other than Quinn's preparation. It was like he knew what was going to be on the exam. The guy was incredible. It did worry me a little that I was the first person to turn in my paper. I handed mine in before Quinn did. There was no way that could be right. I probably hadn't gone over my answers enough times. That couldn't be helped. I had to get back to practice. Handing it in, the professor gave me a surprised look. I wasn't about to do anything that would indicate that I found it easy. I knew that would be tempting fate. But I did make eye contact with Quinn on the way out. I gave him a cocky look, telling him it had been a breeze. He stopped himself from chuckling and then returned to his exam. Leaving the room, I considered waiting for him. He couldn't be too far behind me, but I had told Coach that I would head back as soon as I was done. Also, I didn't want to be the douchebag hanging out in the hallway in his football gear and cleats. Running back across campus, I got there in time for the film section. There was a lot to go over. From there, the team had another walkthrough of plays. Coach was preparing us like Quinn had prepared me for the exam. So by the time I got back to the locker room, I was exhausted. All I wanted to do was go home. Turning on my phone, I found a message from Quinn.
How was it?
So easy, I wrote back. It's a good thing you stole the exam. I could never have passed without it. I thought it was funny, but Quinn didn't reply. You'll be there on Saturday, right?
Wouldn't miss it,
he immediately wrote back. I'll put the tickets at will call.
Okay, thanks.
No, thank you, I said, not knowing how else to express how grateful I was to him. I knew that I didn't deserve to have someone like Quinn in my life. My life was a mess. I had a girlfriend I didn't love. I didn't want to leave my house in fear that when I returned, my father would be gone, and my career was set to take me away from him. Quinn was an incredibly amazing guy who deserved so much more than someone like me. He was someone who would literally go down in history. On top of that, he was sweet and thoughtful and brilliant. Who was I compared to all that? You'll be at the game on Saturday, right, Dad? I asked him when I found him drinking in front of the TV.
Yeah,
he said without looking at me. I didn't stop staring at him. As much as I tried to ignore it when Quinn said it, his words had stuck. Without knowing about my dad's drunken tirades about me not being his son, Quinn had said that I was adopted. That couldn't be a coincidence. Quinn was an extremely smart guy. He knew all that stuff about dimples. There was no way he had mixed it up with butt dimples. There was no way. And beyond dimples, there were a few more things that weren't quite as obscure. My father was a real redhead who went from pale to freckled pink. Quinn had said that redheads had dark-haired kids all the time, and that was what I had told myself growing up. But on top of that, my dad was left-handed while I was right-handed. He liked foods I found disgusting. He was super hairy, while at 22, I still struggled to grow facial hair. And I was pretty sure he was colorblind. Either that, or he severely rejected societal pressure to match his socks. None of those things meant anything on their own, but add them all together, it had always made me think. Now add that to my dad's rants and what Quinn said about dimples, and I couldn't ignore it anymore.
What?
My father said, having felt me stare. Did I ask him about it while he was still somewhat sober? Would my asking him be the thing that finally made him leave? I couldn't deal with this. Not now, at least.
What?
He asked again, this time a little pissed off.
Your ticket will be a will call,
I told him, looking away and heading to my room. He grunted in reply.
Boy,
you know I don't like it when you call me that, I told him.
You know scouts will be there on Saturday, right?
I know.
You prepared?
Coach has us ready.
Good. Who was that boy you brought around last night?
I stopped my exit as soon as he brought up Quinn. If I was going to have a life with Quinn, at some point, I was going to have to talk to him about it. I told you, he's my tutor.
He didn't leave last night.
We were up late preparing for the exam I took today. He grunted, not taking his eyes off of me. By the way, I know you like her, but I don't think it's working out between Tasha and me.
Make it work. She's good for you. Teams will like her.
I can't be with someone because some team might like the way we look together. There's more to life than that.
Do you know how much I sacrificed to get you where you are? You couldn't even begin to guess.
And I appreciate that, Dad. But I don't see what that has to do with who I date.
Don't you go ruining this now, boy.
I'm not ruining anything. I'm just telling you that she might not be the one.
And who is?
I don't know. But there are a lot of people out there.
And none of them would do what she can do for you.
You mean stand beside me on draft day and look pretty? I can't base my life on one moment that'll have more to do with how I play on Saturday than who I stick my dick in.
Don't you ruin this, boy.
I told you, don't call me that.
I'll call you whatever I goddamn want, boy.
Okay, I'm done, I told him, seeing where the conversation was headed.
Don't you walk away from me,
he said after I exited to my room and shut the door behind me.
Don't you fuck this up. Don't you go fucking this up, boy. This is the best thing that will ever happen to you. Don't you give it all up for some piece of ass.
He had heard me. He knew what I was hinting at with Quinn, and it was clear that he didn't approve. But it didn't matter. I was falling in love with him, and there was nothing my dad could do to change that. If Quinn let me, I was going to make him mine. To others, it might seem like a choice, but it wasn't. I didn't think I could stand to be away from him if I tried. He had me, and nothing that happened was going to change that. Not my father. Not what some scout would say. Nothing. Did you get the tickets? I texted Quinn as I sat in the locker room, waiting to go out for the game.
Put your phone away, Rucker. Get your head in the game,
Coach said, forcing me to return it to my bag before I got a reply from Quinn. Holding out as long as I could, I stared at the screen until the phone was out of sight. Still nothing. I had texted him yesterday, and he had told me he and Lou would be there. I told him that I would make sure to win the game so that he enjoyed himself. He had just told me that he was looking forward to it, but nothing else. I was expecting more from him. The truth was that I was having a hard time interacting with him since our class ended. Our class had been our excuse to spend time together. Without it, the only thing remaining was my intense feelings for him. But I didn't feel right expressing how I felt as long as I was still in a relationship with Tasha. Tasha, on the other hand, was nowhere to be seen. I had put tickets for her at will call like I always did, but I hadn't spoken to her in days. I would say our relationship was over. Except, even when she disappeared like this, she would reappear and remind me of the dream we had where I traveled the country playing for the NFL and she got involved with some charity. I don't know what it was about that dream that always got me to excuse the shittiness of our relationship, but it did. It had to stop, though. I wasn't sure what I wanted my life to be, but I was feeling more confident that it wasn't that. How did I break that to her? How did I break that to my dad? Taking the field, I looked around at the stands. The place was jam-packed. I knew where Quinn's seats were, but there was no way to see them from here. Past the row closest to the field, the stadium became a blur of cheering, colorful dots. Usually, that was how I preferred it. Today, there was one person I wished I could pick out. Was Quinn here or not? Whatever the case, I was going to play like I was only playing for him. I wanted him to be proud of me. I wanted him to think that I was worthy of someone as great as him. Our offensive team took the field to start the game. As quarterback, I surveyed the defensive line looking for all of the weaknesses coach had been training us to spot. I didn't see anything until my tight end shifted, indicating that he had thought he could make a hole for our running back. We had run this play in dozens of games. The other team knew that. That meant that the opposition would be looking to adjust to it as soon as we committed to the play. So, if I called the play and waited for the defense to commit, "Orange 52, summer hike," I said, telling my guys my plan. As expected, our tight end opened a hole in their defensive line. As soon as he did, our running back charged from behind me, looking for a handoff. Wrapping his arms around nothing, he charged the line, causing the defense to collapse on his position. The right safety moved into place to stop our running back if he got through, and the man who was defending our wide receiver favored his right to back up the charging safety. That was when our wide receiver broke loose and sprinted down the field. This was it. He was open. I just had to stay on my feet long enough for him to reach the 10-yard line. The grunts of 300-pound men echoed in my ears. They were coming. My heart pounded. "Stay calm. Wait for it," I told myself. When our guys couldn't hold back their line any longer, their linebacker cut through like a bullet through metal. He was going to get me. I had to throw. Whipping my arm back, I let go. The second the ball left my fingertips, a freight train hit me, leaving me on the ground for dead. Lying there, I heard the collective awe of the crowd. They were watching something. It was my pass. I had gotten it off in time. It was spiraling 40 yards through the air. It took a while to get there. When it did, the screams of the crowd were deafening. "Touchdown!" the announcer yelled. 20,000 people shot to their feet. Celebration. Agony. The rush of it all was amazing. Dan ran over to me and helped me up. "Fuck yeah!" he yelled, slapping me on the back. Jogging off the field, watching everyone go wild, there was only one person who I hoped had seen it. I looked toward his section again. There were too many people, and it was too far away. I didn't see him. It broke my heart to think he might not have been there. I played like a man on fire for the rest of the first half. I'd never thrown a more perfect game in my life. I had my offensive line to thank for it, of course. And it didn't matter how well I threw if my receivers didn't catch it. But there was one name the crowd chanted as we jogged off the field for halftime. Mine. Hurrying back to the locker, the only thing I cared about was checking my messages. I would have given anything to see Quinn's name pop up. Ripping my glove off to unlock the phone, I tossed it aside and illuminated the screen. There were two messages from him. One said, "Got the tickets, headed up now." And the other one said, "Wow!" That was it. And it was enough. I was so happy I felt drunk. He had seen me do what I did best. I couldn't feel better if I tried. I entered the field for the second half beside myself. I felt like I was glowing. I felt intoxicated. It was a good thing we started the second half playing defense. It gave me a few extra minutes to pull myself together. As much as I tried to focus, I couldn't help but search the crowd for him. He was out there somewhere. I could now feel his gaze on me. I wanted to show off for him. So, with my helmet in hand, headed back onto the field, I called a series of plays that would guarantee we would win the game. It started with a few passes that got us closer to the end zone. I just needed to be within 30 yards. That was it. When my final pass got us there, I gathered the guys into a huddle and called the big one. They looked at me questioningly, but I was their quarterback. They listened. In the line, I called for the hike. With the ball in hand, I pulled back my arm, ready to launch it. After a continuous parade of passes, the defensive line stepped back. That's when I lowered the ball, tucking it under my arm, and charged. Caught by surprise, the other team was late to react. It opened a gap down the sideline. Ahead of me, I could see the end zone. I wanted this touchdown. I wanted Quinn to see me do this. Rattling towards me was the free safety. He was going to get to me before I got to the goal. I had two options. I could run out of bounds, or I could risk my life and charge through. I wanted this. I wanted it bad. Picking up speed, I made my decision. Nothing was going to stop me. An arm's length away, the safety lunged. That was when I leapt into the air. I was going to jump over him. I'd seen it in movies and the most spectacular games. I could do it. Leaving the ground, I watched as the safety cut under me. I wasn't high enough. I would have to step on him to clear him. But when my foot reached down for his body, I felt his hand. It was hard to tell what happened after that. What I know is that I heard a crack. It was as my body hit the ground. There was nothing. And then there was a roar of fire. The pain consuming me was unlike anything I had ever felt. It was my left leg. Something in it had shattered. I was told that athletes know the moment a career-ending injury has occurred. I used to wonder what that felt like. I didn't have to wonder anymore, because in that moment, I knew this was the end.